So this morning's gospel reading that Karen read for us recounts how the risen Lord Jesus appeared to dejected disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's one of my favourite stories, probably in the whole Bible. I love this story so much, and there's much that can be drawn from these passages. And over the years I've preached on this passage many different times, including here. But in the last few weeks, as I've been mulling over this passage to share with you this morning, I've begun to discover a completely new way of reading it, a new way of looking at it that I hadn't seen before at all. And it comes from a Catholic bishop in the US called White Reverend Robert Barron, who runs a movement called Word on Fire. And his reading of this passage, it really spoke to me and helped me to unpack even more depth of my own favourite passage. But he reads the story of the road to Emmaus in the light of Genesis. In the light of the first reading that we heard from Beth this morning, and links the Emmaus story as a restoration, or maybe even a reversal, of the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to unpack that for you in the next 10 minutes or so. So bear with me. Now, as we begin to explore this way of reading the story, let's just get a bit of clarity at the beginning as to who we're talking about. Who are the key people in this reading? Well, as many of us know, there were two people walking down the road to Emmaus. They were disciples. They were obviously close followers of Jesus. But the Bible only mentions one of them by name. The Bible only mentions Cleopas. The other person's unnamed. Now, for many, many, many years, we all assumed that there was another disciple who just chose to be anonymous, who went along the road with him, and these two men went together, two special disciples. And the many medieval paintings and sculptures have been made to show these two men leaving the group of disciples and making their way to Emmaus. Recent scholarship has questioned that assumption. Surely the most obvious person who is unnamed in the scripture, sadly to say, so often for the Gospels, is the women. He fed 5,000 men, oh, and some women and some children. We read in John chapter 19, verse 25, that there were some women stood at the foot of the cross. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Mary, the wife of Clopas. Surely that's Clopas, Cleopas. Was it the same person? Is this not a married couple who have been for following Jesus? They went to the cross with Jesus. They were closely, intimately involved with Jesus. And now they're making their way away. Away from the disciples. Just as those of you who gathered last 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday, I spoke about Mary Magdalene leaving the upper room, leaving the place where the intensity was and the fear was, and just going away. This married couple go away. But if it's a man and a woman who are leaving and walking away, it begins to unpack this new way of exploring this story that the bishop from the US unfolded for me. The story begins with a man and a woman dejected walking away from Jerusalem. Now, traditionally, Jerusalem is seen as the dwelling place for God. Psalm 132 says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion, the mountain in which they built Jerusalem. He desired it for his habitation, saying, 'This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it.'" It was, in effect, the new Garden of Eden. But Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas are walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from God's presence. They're walking away from the Garden of Eden. Do you see the link with the passage in Genesis chapter 3, when just a few verses after we've read about the fall, the men and the women are ejected from the garden? They are sent out from God's presence, away from the Garden of Eden, excluded from the presence of God, dejected, lost and hopeless. Like us. Like so many people in this parish. Like so many people that we know, that we meet in our work, in our play, in our schools, in our time in the street. So many people feel lost, dejected, somehow excluded from God and have no relationship with Him. They are walking away from God's presence. Why? Well, the lie of the snake in the Garden of Eden was that the eyes of Adam and Eve would be opened. He said, didn't he? Did God say, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God? But actually what happened was their eyes were closed. They were unable to see God fully for who He is. Their spiritual sight was closed. They were unable to recognise the Father's love for them. Father God longed to walk with them in the cool of the evening. And yet they chose to hide from Him. They hid themselves from the love of God rather than walking with Him. A slowness of heart, confusion and inability to see all creep in Eden after the partaking of the fruit. They cannot recognise God or the design of God for them. And is that not the story of our married couple as they dejectedly walk away from God's presence in Jerusalem? They are unable to recognise the design of God. They are unable to recognise God Himself. Told they're walking away from Jerusalem, they're talking about what happened to Jesus of Nazareth. And as Jesus draws near, they were kept from recognising Him. Something prevented them from knowing who He was. They're unable to recognise Jesus, maybe in His glorified state, or is it they're unable to see God Himself? Because Jesus in His resurrected state has opened a way for us to meet with God, and yet they cannot recognise it. Instead, they are sad and they're downcast, and it seems that all their hopes are dashed. They thought Jesus was going to be the one who was going to liberate Israel. They thought Jesus was going to be the great conquering hero. They're disappointed. They're sad. They don't know what's happening. They're confused. They're kept from recognising it. Like us. Like so many people in this parish. Like so many people that we meet in our homes, in our lives, in our work, in our schools. Our eyes are closed and we fail to recognise God's presence with us. We're unable to see what God is doing. And we don't understand it. And we're confused. And We say, what's going on, God? Why is it happening like this? Why is our church like this? Why is our world like this? But only a few short verses after our reading, which Beth read for us from Genesis today. In chapter 3, verse 15, God already promises he will come and redeem humanity. I've always wondered what the two disciples spoke with Jesus about as they walked down the road. That amazing Bible study as they went for 5, 6, 7 miles, walking down the road, discussing together the scriptures. I wish it had been written down. What was it that they talked about? But we do know from Paul's letters later that it was necessary that Jesus should suffer and enter his glory to make it possible for us who share his human nature to enter into relationship with God. To get back what we lost in the Garden of Eden. And I wonder if those disciples shared some of that learning with Paul later. But friends, what is more significant is this is actually happening right in front of them. God himself in Jesus has intercepted the man and the woman, and God himself is walking alongside them. And he walks and he walks and he walks until evening. The cool of the evening. Jesus on his first day of his resurrection restores what Adam and Eve lost. The walk with God in the cool of the evening. And these two disciples say, did not our hearts burn within us as Jesus opened up the scriptures to us? God's very presence back with his people, walking with his people, brings into an image for us, a representation of the relationship that God wants with his people, to restore that relationship. And my prayer for us, the people of this parish, the people that we know, the people at our school, in our work, in our leisure, the people in gathering place, the people who come into St. Thomas's, the people who go to the schools when we speak to the schools, is that Jesus would come and walk alongside and bring people back into relationship with him. That's what we're seeking in our vision. To see God at work in this parish. And then Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas arrive home. And what do they say? Stay with us. Stay with us. We've lost that relationship. We want never to be separated again. Now, if you read the book of Genesis and you read a bit more deeply into the story of Eden, there are actually two trees mentioned. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there's a tree of the eternal life. The tree of life. And when Adam and Eve took from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, humanity lost its relationship with God. They were separated from God. And why? Because God said, I don't want them accessing the garden again, that they may partake of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. But then, when Jesus came, he was worshipping in the temple. If you remember, the temple had a big, ginormous curtain that went from floor to ceiling, and it separated humanity from God. God could not relate to them and they could not relate to him because he was stuck behind this ginormous curtain. And on the very day he died, that curtain split from top to bottom and ripped open. The relationship was restored. The separation was restored. And that has enabled Jesus to come alongside them. And he can save them. So he comes in. And he sits at the table. And he breaks the bread. And as he breaks the bread, as I'll break the bread later, and gives it to them, and they receive, their eyes are opened and they recognise him. Their eyes were opened. That was the very thing they wanted in the Garden of Eden in the first place, was their eyes would be opened and they become like God. The snake's temptation was, take what's not yours to take, and you can be like God. Jesus says, give what I am offering you to take, and you can come like God, and you can live with me forever. The redemption of Jesus as he gives, we simply need to receive. And so the couple are compelled, just like Mary Magdalene was, those of you who were here on Easter Sunday, to run back to that upper room, back to Jerusalem, back to what I called the Garden of Eden earlier, back to be with God's people, to be fully restored. And then he meets them there. The very next verse, after having read for us, the very next verse, Jesus himself appeared in the church to gather together. That's my prayer for us, for this church, for this parish, for the people that we know, that our eyes be opened and that we will again know the gift of life and the joy of God's presence with us. I don't know if you found that a helpful interpretation of the story. I certainly enjoyed reading it and exploring it myself over the last few weeks as it's been going through my mind. I've been reading my books. It's a story that speaks to so many who feel dejected and lost and helpless. It's a story that speaks to so many whose eyes are closed because they don't understand why Jesus came. It's a story that encourages us to pray that Jesus will come alongside and bring his people back into relationship with him, which is what we are seeking as a church. It's a story that our eyes be opened, that God will give us again that gift of life, to be a loving community, following Jesus, serving Normanton. What better message for Vision Sunday? For us, the people of this parish, and the people we know. Amen.